This morning, as I had talked about, I want you to turn in the book of Matthew. We had talked about the only begotten of God this morning as the name of Christ. And I'm going to continue a little bit of the that mindset this morning. And, here we are approaching the what we refer to as the Christmas season. And we have a lot of discussions about the things of the Lord, and we have a lot of discussions about things that are related to His birth and things like that. And I want us to take a look in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23. I don't want to really say this is a salvation message. This is more of a teaching message. But I'm not going to shy away from saying that if you are here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to. As we saw this morning, there is no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we must be saved. We know that we have a sin problem. We know that our sin problem needs to be taken care of only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. There's nothing else out there that we need to rely on other than Jesus Christ and Him alone. Okay? And this is where we're coming from. But, I dare say that mankind has a different view of who God is. And they view God as distant. And they view God as far away from us. But He's not. And He's never intended it to be that way. The only one that makes God distant is us. We're the ones that push away. We're the ones that wander. We're the ones that leave. In Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23, here is where Joseph receives some instruction. And, before he's specifically told, you're going to call him Jesus. And the angel here in verse 23 is talking about the word of the Lord that is being fulfilled. And it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us." God with us. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are very thankful again for this time and opportunity to be here. And Lord, I just pray that you would give all of us the strength of mind and, Lord, a diligence of spirit to consider this subject matter this morning. And Lord, as we think about how near you are to us, I pray, Lord, that we would take these things and use them, Lord, to live a life that would glorify you, that would clearly represent how near you truly are to mankind. And I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Pray, Lord, for strength for me and just clarity of mind, that all of this would be glorifying to you in all things. And these things I ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we have this name, Emmanuel. Now, the name Emmanuel is only mentioned 3 times in Scripture. And twice it's mentioned with an I, and once it's mentioned with an E. And what we find is, obviously that's along the lines of where you have Jonah and Jonas and Jeremiah and Jeremy and the different spellings with the different languages that were used in the original when it was being spoken then. But I will be very clear about this. These three things, and what this one is specifically referencing over there in the book of Isaiah, which we'll see in just a minute, is is not something that is to just be casually dismissed. This name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, means a lot for Israel. I mean, we just sang a song about that, right? We sang a song about how Israel is looking for their Emmanuel. They're looking for God being with them. And what we find in this passage is that as Joseph is told, this is going to be his name, this is who he's going to be, this is what he's going to be called. It's, again, another one of the names that we use to get a greater understanding of what God has done for us. You know, over the course of time, people grow apart. We don't have the same relationships that we once had. People move away, people pass away, maybe friendships fade, connections fade, whatever it may be. But those situations are different than the relationship that we have with God. If you're a born-again child of God, you're in God and He's in you. End of story. You're safe and secure. You're not going to be outside of Him. And no one's ever going to be able to pluck you from His hand. But what we find with this passage, and if you will go over to the book of Isaiah, as the parallels, we're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 7. Which is what the angel was quoting. And it says in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now again, over in chapter 8 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "He shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach out, or reach even to the neck, and stretch out the wings, and stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." So here we have these three portions where God is saying his intent is to be with mankind. God with us. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? God has a desire to be near you. Now, sometimes we don't have a desire even to be near ourselves. Let's just be honest. But God said, "I want to be near my creation. I want to be near what I've made. I want to be near what I love." And this is something, when we think about this, it really brings our attention on God being here with us, His presence. This is something that we cannot just ignore. And while I know this verse is often read and we kind of go, "Oh, okay, yeah, God with us, okay, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, okay," you realize that that's not the only time God's been here? Let me ask you this. When did God ever leave? Are we a bunch of deists that we believe that God just creates mankind and just sets them on a path of hopeful goodness and then just lets them do their own thing and hope for the best? A lot of people do. But he doesn't. God doesn't do this. Turn over to John chapter 1. We were there this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 14. You know, the Apostle John was shown some of these things in John chapter 1. And in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And dwelt among us. You know, I often wondered what it would be like. What it would have been like. There he was, right there with them. The whole time. Think about that. 3.5 years just with Jesus Christ. And notice what he said. "We beheld his glory." Could you imagine seeing all of that? That God does? And John even said, look, he said, I don't even know if the volume of books in the world could contain everything that Jesus Christ did during his ministry. If they were to go through and begin to analyze that and think about all of those things, John's like, I don't think that would even be the case. And here he is making it very clear where he's saying, we beheld his glory. And you know, he even says John the Baptist bore witness of all of these things. They bore witness of all these things. Turn over to the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 1 it says, "That which was from the beginning, which was Jesus Christ, which we have heard," which is the Word of God, "which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, which we, or excuse me, our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." What he's saying here is he's saying, look, we've physically seen him. We've physically seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. And many of us here, you know, we might be a little jealous of that, being able to see Jesus Christ. But rest assured, if you're trusting Christ as your Savior, you will see him. But think about this for a moment. That was when he was here on earth in the flesh. We think about that this time of year. Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. Jesus Christ born into very humble beginning. Jesus Christ coming into this life without a bunch of fanfare. Without a bunch of, dare I say, trumpets. Because he wasn't coming necessarily as that king. He needed to come as that Savior. And what we find in this passage of Scripture is that this theme goes throughout all of the Bible itself. Go over to the book of Acts. Take a look at what he says over there in Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I want you to think about this for a moment. This is an intellectual society. This is Athens. This is Mars Hill, where all those gods had been collected that they would go and worship. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, Paul's got some time on his hands, and here he is wandering through Athens, and it says in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious." He's telling them, yeah, you guys may have logic, but you know what? You're still having a lot of mysticism mixed with your stuff. And he says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Now, whether or not they were trying to just kind of tag on and say, in case we missed one, or whether they had some understanding that there was some other entity that was out there that they needed to worship, but they didn't know who he was. Regardless of what it is, here is what he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He's going to say, he says, I'm going to show you who he is. I'm going to tell you about what God this is that you were talking about. And he goes through and he talks about God making the worlds and all these things, and he's not worshiped the same way with men's hands. But I want you to focus on what he says here in verse 27. He says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You know what Paul's saying? God's not far away from you. You ever go through life and you just sometimes think that you're alone? You ever go through life where deep, dark times and trials in your life where you just don't think anybody understands? You know, I've been through some things with all the health stuff that has gone on, and you know, when you've had multiple surgeries and they're just trying to keep you somewhat sedated so that you can, you know, get the pain under control. Man, some of that stuff is pretty funky. Yeah. And like I've said, you know, Abraham Lincoln dancing on pancakes. That's some stuff to see. That's some stuff to see. But I will say this. I will say this. I saw some dark stuff. There were times that my mind tricked me. And I felt alone. But one thing I knew is that God was with me. Amen. And even though it felt like I was winding through this maze of tunnels, just seeking for some way to escape in all of it, I knew that the Lord was there with me. He's not far from you. And look, if you're a person here today, and maybe you realize your life isn't what it was or what it was supposed to be. Maybe you're looking at your life and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, maybe things haven't panned out the way that they were supposed to. I will tell you this. All you need to do is reach out. God's hand is mighty that it can save. God's hand is mighty that he will take you and he will pull you out of that miry pit and he will set you upon the rock and you will have a firm foundation in Christ and Christ alone. That you will never, ever be away from him. When we think about this and we think about all of these passages that we just talked about, I want you to think about this for a moment. How did the whole book start? In the book of Genesis, the Lord tells us that God created man. And it tells us that God was with man. His voice walking with him in the garden. They had conversations. They connected. How does the book end? You find in the book of Revelation, God is dwelling with men. There's a bridge. There's no more sea dividing. There's no more separation. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, connecting to the throne of God. I mean, I can't even begin to fathom what that will even look like. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around the idea and the concept of what that would even be. But yet God says that's what it's going to be. Mankind's entire existence has always been framed around that term, Emmanuel. God with us. Was God with Abraham? Was God with Moses? Was God with Israel? Was God with David? Was God with all those heroes of faith that we find in the book of Hebrews? Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Was God with the apostles in the flesh? After he ascended, was God still with him? Absolutely. Absolutely. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a saved, born again child of God, you don't need to wait for the Holy Spirit. You don't need to wait for somebody to come around and lay hands on you and get the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's not how it works. Go over and find out what happened to those Gentiles over there in Acts chapter 10. There was that point in time where that was being used. All of a sudden, something changed. Even Peter and the other Jews were like, whoa, what happened? Something happened. Something different. If you're a saved, born again child of God, you get the Holy Spirit right now. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that means? That means you're sealed with God. Not that he ever would, but he was never going to grow tired of you and say, you know what, I'm tired of him. Kick him to the curb. Tired of that relationship. Aren't you glad God never gets tired of that? Kind of changes the way we should think, right? But when we think about this, and we think about that from the garden, God has been with man. That's been the plan from the beginning. Before the beginning, that was the plan. That he would be with his creation. And we find that it's been the purpose of what we find over in the book of Revelation, in the end part, that this is what it's all going to wrap up to. God being with mankind. And look, you know, people try to go about and try to find ways to find God. They try to find God through things. But they never find him. They try to find God through power or fame. And they never find him. They try to find God in other relationships. Whether they're spouses or kids or friends or coworkers or whatever it may be. Sometimes they even try to find God, if you will, in church memberships. But God says, I'm already here. When's the last time we actually sat down and thought how close God is to us? When's the last time we praised God that He is that close to us. Now look, we have this mentality that sometimes trying to get a hold of God is like trying to get a hold of somebody on the other side of the planet. We got to send an email, got to wait for a reply. You know, we got to do all those things, right? We got to, you know, maybe leave a voicemail message, send a text message, and hopefully somebody responds. Yeah, you know, maybe we'll get a customer service line and we can get through some of those numbers and the phone tree and things like that, right? Do you ever realize that that's not God? We put our own impressions of who God is. But God said, this is who He's going to be. God with us. God with us. And what restores the relationship, the brokenness, is that Jesus Christ would come in the flesh, die on a cross, because He was sinless and perfect, to give of Himself, to humble Himself for us, who sometimes won't even humble ourselves to bow our head and ask God to bless food or thank Him for food. Sometimes we want to humble ourselves to say, praise God instead of praise me. God did all that for us. For us as believers, we should take a great deal of understanding about how important that name Emmanuel is with us being with Him. Go back over to the book of Matthew. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, here's Joseph trying to figure out life. Because his life just got upended. Here's his espoused fiance, and she's pregnant. And, you know, in this day and age, some people don't bat an eye at that. But they'd never been together. And he's like, okay, now what do I do? This is not good. How am I going to fix this? Because, I mean, back up to verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, and look, you know, bear with me. I read that next part, and I can kind of read it a couple of different ways. Being just a man, or being just man. Being a just man. He's just. He's going to do the right thing. But at the same time, he's just a man. I'm trying to read something in there. But he is just a man. He's a just man. He's going to do the right thing. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. You see, he didn't want to ruin her life. He didn't want to destroy things. He's like, okay, this was his plan. All right, I guess this is what we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do. And it says in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then it goes into, in verse 22, it says, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, which being interpreted is God with us. And here he is now realizing there is something greater than this. Can you imagine for that moment having an understanding, having this knowledge of the prophecy being fulfilled, that all of a sudden his plans no longer matter? His plans no longer matter. And what we find is we find that this God being with mankind, that this God with us ties back to not just ruling and reigning, but to salvation. Paul pointed out to the Athenians, all you have to do is begin to look and you'll find God. Go over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it says, Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God reveals himself in everything that we see around us. And scientists turn a blind eye. Yeah. The so-called intellectual think tanks turn a blind eye, because when they start thinking about it this way, it brings about this issue of, hey, you need a savior.
Right.
He says you're without excuse. You realize that no person on the face of the earth is going to be able to stand in front of God and say, I didn't know.
Right.
Now, look, I know, you know, sometimes our brains try to scratch and claw and think, well, there's got to be one. Well, God says they're without excuse. He wrote it even on their hearts.
Right.
In the next chapter, we begin to realize God has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there when he made mankind. He was there when mankind fell. He was there when he made a promise to mankind, I will bring a Savior. He was there through mankind's greatest trials, when debauchery had just overtaken everything. He was there with Noah. He was there with Abraham, and as I said, he was there through all those that we see in the Old Testament. He was there through all of those that we see in the New Testament. And let's not just, you know, put a pin at that point in time and say, well, yeah, that's when he was there, but now, no, he's still there, folks. God is still working in your life. God is still working in a way to guide you and direct you through his word, through those that are around you, to lead you into those paths of righteousness. God has not forsaken you. God has not given up. Now, I will say there is a point in time where, yes, God will not be found. And that's when he says, depart. But God doesn't want that. God is not willing that any should perish. And throughout man's entire history, it's not man's story. It's God's. It's God's account of mankind. And what I find in this passage of Scripture is that over and over again, I see God showing himself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And here we are approaching this season where we think about this. We think about who God is, what he's done for us. And as I said in Sunday school this morning, yeah, I was one of, you know, at one point in time, my family, we were the Jeremiah 10 people, you know, chopping down the bale bush and that thing. Yeah. And then I studied it out. Careful what you listen to. By the way, heathens don't go out and chop down cherry trees. Or say cherry trees again. There you go. That's like, they don't go around chopping down pine trees. Besides, they never regarded the pine tree as anything. It was always the oak. And it would be considered sacrilege to chop one of those down. So keep that in mind. In Hebrews chapter 13, this is what it boils down to, folks. Verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. I mean, I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it really you need in this life? I just kind of cringe about, what do you want for Christmas? I want a new body. And you got a spare one lying around that they're not using? It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And conversation isn't just what you say. It's what you do. It's your mindset. It's how you behave. It's who you are. And be content with such things as you have. How about that? How about that? And guess what? Our mind goes to the things that we have, right? Got a house, got a car, got a good job. Get out of the physical. Think about what do you have? This is the thought. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, I want you to think about this. God with us means you've got God. Are you content with that? Is he enough? Will he be sufficient for you in all things? What more do you need? What more could you possibly want? God said from the beginning, I want to be with my creation. God said at the end of the book, I'm going to be with my creation. God said, I'm going to make a way so that you can be with me. My creation, being with him, with me. That's what he wants in his life. Or excuse me, in your life. He wants that relationship. He wants that there with you. It's such a great, precious promise to realize that in just a simple name as Emmanuel, God says, I'm going to be with you. Believer, when's the last time you sat there and thought with a content heart, I'm with God right now. I don't have to wait. I understand we wait the redemption of this body. But God is not so far away that we can't immediately find Him, that we can't boldly approach the throne, that we can't cry out to God. And He is there for us. As we approach this holiday season, I'd encourage you to think that. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's be content with that. For He is already with us. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. If you are here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will come a day where you will be faced with the consequence of that decision, which means that you're going to face an eternal damnation, an eternal death. God is, it's pretty clear from Scripture, God doesn't want that. And He made a way through His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall have that everlasting life, as we talked about. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do so. Believers, if you're here today and maybe you're struggling, maybe it's not that you are away from God. Maybe it's you've given yourself the impression He's not near to you. But the Bible said, God with us. Let's make sure we're completely yielded and submitted to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for this time. And I pray, Lord, that You continue to work on our hearts. That, Lord, if someone needs salvation this morning, You would just draw them forward and they would come and ask what they need for forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's believers here that are struggling, that, Lord, You will clearly show them how great that name Emmanuel is, a name above names, that You would be with us. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You have blessed us with. And these things I ask in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.